Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, it is the Migscast. I am Steve Migs here with the Reverend Fuego.
Hello,
Glenn Cannon.
Damn, he started with an oh yeah.
This oh yeah, too. Brother.
Oh yeah. It's like, yeah. The Kool-Aid man Migs.
So much stuff to do today. So much going on. So much drama.
Oh my God.
So much stuff to celebrate.
Ooh. Sounds like a Tuesday.
sounds
like a Tuesday, baby.
Pretty much every episode of the Migscast.
Yeah, dude.
Something's going on.
It's a roller coaster of emotion.
Oh man. Well, it's good to see you guys. Rev's back from Florida.
Yeah, I made it.
Glenn survived his trip here on new tires in the rain.
Yeah. I did fine, actually. The Weather Channel app said it wasn't going to rain until 2. So yeah. I was like, all right. But I always forget, you know, that's Burien.
Yep.
So, you know, I come 5 miles north and it's like, oh.
The weather has changed,
oh,
sir.
Yeah, the city of Seattle is like engulfed in a black cloud. It was like the nothing was rolling in over the city of Seattle, dude.
Which is so
weird. I saw Falcor down on First Ave South. He's like, don't go, buddy.
Stay away. Wow. Head to Federal Way. I'm looking at my app and it has no rain at all in Seattle.
Well, it's sprinkling now.
Well, it was misting on.
Misting.
Why you gotta lie to me, Siri?
But yeah, right. I just got new tires on my bike, which my rear tire was completely bald. But then I start, you know, I was going to do it myself, blah, 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 took it to a cat, and he said, hey, be careful at first, they're going to be really slippery until they break in. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
So I get online, Metzler's like this well-known tire company, and I start learning all about the tires I bought after I bought them, because that's how you do things.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, I read it, and it's like, yeah, you know, for the first 60 to 120 miles until they're broken in, you know, they're going to be slippery, you know, avoid the following things. So I want to break them in, dude. I want to break them in. So I was like, all right, I fired it up, and it started raining. I'm like, sweet.
Ah.
Honestly, they still feel really sticky.
Mm-hmm.
They feel
how I like my ladies.
Yeah, okay. they feel very nice.
Completely bald and really sticky.
Bald and sticky.
Yuck.
No, it's not yuck at all.
Well, I mean, visuals.
It's a Danny DeVito joke, actually. Steve's in a dark place today.
Oh, how weird.
Have you seen the Lord of the Rings films?
I saw the one where they walk through the woods for a really long time.
Oh, that's all
so
three
you've
of
seen
them.
Yeah, you've seen them all. Is that episode 2? Yeah.
See, there's, that's like, why I didn't send in the joke. Yeah. I'll show you something after the show, but there was a joke I sent specifically to Justin because I knew, and I showed it to my wife, and she died, and she's like, you didn't send it to Steve, and I'm like,
yeah,
Steve's this is going to be lost on him, but I was like, I know Justin will get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
I think I've seen all three. First one was okay. The second one was just like, when are these guys going to just stop? I'm sorry.
Wow. Someone's passionate about how boring
epic.
The Lord of the Rings are.
I saw it in the theaters. I'm like, just when are they going to stop walking through the woods? Like, okay, we get it. Fast forward a little. And then the last one I thought was really good until the ending when it was like, okay, the movie's over. Why are we keeping it going?
Oh, bro.
And it just keeps going for like another 30 minutes.
Tony and I went to go see that with my good friend Jason Adrian.
Uh-huh.
And literally during like the seventh ending, he was like, oh, come on. And everyone in the theater kind of laughed.
How many times can these hobbits dance around and then get on a boat?
Well, it's just like
end it when they're on the volcano. That's all. We know things are cool.
Yeah, I'd say put a bow on it right when Frodo gets on the boat to leave for the west.
Yeah, I thought it was done, and then they just kept going.
Right.
And maybe quickly montage to like Sam's wedding or something as the credits begin
Mother
to roll.
Effing montage.
Even Rocky had a montage.
I love that we're reviewing Lord of the Rings on the Migscast.
I love that you swore about it.
I know, you got passionate.
I was very upset when I went and saw that film. I'm like, this sucks. I tried to force myself to fall asleep, hoping I'd wake up and they'd be done walking through the woods.
Dude, didn't microdose beforehand.
I should have.
But see, there are things about those movies, like even in the theater where they first leave Rivendell to begin the journey in the first movie, I'm like, man, you think the elves would hook these guys up with some horses?
Yeah.
Because they're walking, right?
No. And they got the little legs. So it takes
and
longer.
Then teeny tiny legs.
When Gandalf sends the eagles, when Gandalf sends the eagles to pick him up on the side of Mount Doom at the end of the film.
Oh, and that's the Hobbit.
No, that's the end of Lord of the Rings.
Did they do it in Lord of the Rings as well?
Sam and Sam and Frodo are on the side of Mount Doom, getting ready to get burned alive in the lava. And the eagles come and they rescue him, bro. Frodo's like half dead. But I watched that and I was like, well, now wait a minute. When they were like, we got to do this, why wasn't Gandalf like, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'll summon some eagles. You fly over Mount Doom. You drop the ring in the volcano. Credits roll.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could have avoided that. Yeah, it's not much of a story at that point.
That would have been great. We could have done just two movies.
So I told Tawny recently, because this bothered me for years, maybe the eagles cannot be in the presence of the One Ring. And so that's why Gandalf was able to summon them to save himself from the Tower of Saruman. Mm-hmm. And that's also why he was able to send them to get Frodo and Sam, because the One Ring had...
Yeah, but when you need to make all those explanations to kind of fill in voids, that you're like, why isn't this working? You're reaching. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Me and Miggs had made the movie. It's like, do you see that movie with the giant birds? It was only about 20 minutes long.
A short film.
Yeah. They found the ring. They got the birds. They dropped it in a volcano. They had a party.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need two freaking hours. Direct,
it's
walking.
Not the Wachowski brothers. It's Cannon and Miggs.
Yeah, we got this.
Short movies that are satisfying.
Get to the point, damn it. Oh, man. So, you know what? Let's first start off. Let's just address the elephant in the podcast room.
The Facebook group in the room?
Yes. I had to shut down the Facebook page. It's still there.
Wait a minute. Is it the Mixcast fans?
Yes, the Mixcast page, not the fan page. They just started a Mixcast fan page.
I got invited to join the fan page, but you shut down the Mixcast page?
I put it on archive or whatever it is.
Yeah, no commenting.
It's on timeout.
What happened?
So, you know, truth be told, I rarely go on Facebook a lot of times because I just can't deal with the comments. I can't, not the Facebook page for the Mixcast, just in general.
I've stopped trolling you. I don't know why you're still so timid.
But you're texting me the damn things, man.
So I text his wife now. She giggles. Steve's like, what?
Oh, it's Glenn being Glenn. I'm like, no, Glenn being Glenn, that means you're being mean to me.
I'd text your dog if I could.
I'm not giving you her cell number.
Oh, geez.
So I get I finally see some notifications. I'm like, all right, let me go check. I get anxiety. I legitimately get anxiety from the comments on social media. And so I was like, you know what? I got to do it. It's part of my job. I got to read comments. And there's a woman that posted something, and it basically said that she's kind of done with the group. The fact that there's all these posts and these jokes about rape and nothing's funny about rape. And
I never saw any of that.
And then long story short, she said something along the lines, and clearly Steve is okay with this type of humor and misogyny. And it just devastated me.
Dude, it's a couple thousand random people that have nothing to do with you.
And like her and I had I want to make
it
very clear.
With her?
We had a great conversation.
Okay.
Like we took it as the adults say offline and we had a conversation offline and just had, I was like, look, I hope you, that's not me. At first, I did comment her thing just so that she can see that because I don't want that living out there. Because look, I love women. I mean, maybe I love women a little too much sometimes, but I love women just in general. Like, you know, I love dudes. I love women. I love everybody. I do not think rape jokes are funny. I never have. I never will. Yeah.
Unless it's guy on guy, then it's sort of.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not for me, man.
I'm sorry, dude.
No, I don't think rape jokes are funny. Insect on insect, totally fine. No, but so I don't find those kind of jokes funny. I don't think those kind of memes are funny. And if I would see a meme that would do something like that, I would delete it. I'm just not on there enough to always monitor what's going on. I just assume people are going to, and I even said, like, we had a conversation. I'm like, it just saddens me that I would just assume that most people on that page are adults that, you know, sometimes you just don't want to, because you have the freedom to post a stupid meme doesn't mean that you should. Mm-hmm. And also, hey, show some respect. There's women on here. And I even said, look, I have a daughter on the way. Not that that like means that I'm a good human being, because there's plenty of terrible people with daughters. But like my whole world changed just in general of like, I would never want to like make a woman feel like I'm being misogynistic.
You know, man,
ever.
Sometimes there is dark humor out there.
Yeah.
And politically correctness, I mean, you never want to offend anyone. And sometimes, I even on this program, I made a joke. I said I put the sensual and non-consensual.
Yeah.
I mean, which I said because it was a great wordplay and I thought it was hilarious, but I'm the farthest thing in the world from the type of guy that would ever do anything like that. But for the sake of humor and some wordplay, I said that. And it's, you know, man, and honestly, there's stuff that I joke about. There's things very kind of nasty things that have happened to me throughout my life that I joke about openly, because it's easier to make light of than to harbor some nugget of pain.
Yeah.
But not everyone's like that. And sometimes I'll crack a joke and they're like, dude, you know, I've got a cousin that has Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, please, man, when I made a retard joke, it wasn't, God, it was so, it was very benign. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm super sorry. It was in really deeply benign.
And there's a great article also just about what they call the R word. I refuse to, I know you say it, and I'm not like mad at you about it, but like,
I rarely say it.
I personally will never use that word anymore because I've started like learning about like somehow people are genuinely hurt by that. And I was like, crap, I don't do any humor to try and hurt anybody.
It's a treacherous time in that people seem to be a little more sensitive than they were 25 years ago. And I'm not saying that is a negative thing either. I'm just saying you really got to tread
I think people
carefully.
Feel, and I also feel like people feel more comfortable saying that things bother them now more. So it's like, I think for the longest time we're told, just be a man and don't say you have feelings or suck it up, buttercup.
Well,
you
know what
I
mean? Right?
Like that was the world we grew up in. I don't think it's a bad thing now that people can say, hey, look, I don't like that. And they probably didn't like it 20 years ago, but they were told that they can't say anything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think we're going to find as we evolve a good place of like what is right and what's wrong. And look, we all have dark sides and senses of humor.
What I'd like to see the joke that upset her. You know,
oh, she showed me the screenshot.
Was it in very poor taste?
Yeah, it was. But the problem was that she was bothered by it. And it wasn't like the world's worst joke or anything like that. Like, it wasn't like.
But it offended her.
But it was enough. I would have deleted it if I saw it. If someone, because sometimes people report posts to me. And more often than not, I just delete them. Even if it's like moderately, like I'm like, I don't see the bother. It's like,
I'm rarely on that page, man. I'll pop on once in a while.
Yeah.
Or sometimes someone will pop them up in my newsfeed, and it's usually pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, I'll post over there if I've got an event coming up. You know what I mean? But
the only time I ever go on nowadays is when like Steve's like, hey, can you post this on there? And it would be a link to whatever we're talking about on the
and
podcast.
It's funny you guys are saying that because so long story short, with her, we had a really good conversation.
I'm glad to hear that.
She's like, I don't think you're that kind of person. It triggered something with me, and she explained why. And I was like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like at no point would neither one of us like. You know, we actually talk like civil adults, and I didn't disagree with her.
That's an amazing resolution.
But her issue was when she posted, I think she said something on that, and then there was this like mob mentality of like, screw you, take a joke, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you know what? Some people are hurt by certain things. You don't just try and shame them because they can't quote unquote take a joke.
I agree with that.
That's a dick
thing
to do.
Well, the way to do it is to reach out and say, hey, I really didn't mean to offend you. It was just a joke.
Instead of ganging up on
someone. I'm so sorry that you took that way.
And that's where it got, that started to bother me. And I started thinking about the page. I'm like, I used to love going to that page. Like, I genuinely loved it when it was a page that really was, I think, listeners of the podcast. I think, over time, it has. I think people just say, oh, it's Migscast. I know Steve Miggs, or I know KISW. I'm going to join that group. I don't know why. I don't like joining any groups unless I really want to join a group. But,
all right, those notifications. Jeez.
So like, I'm starting to feel like there's a large number of people in there, or a small number of vocal people in there that aren't even listeners of this podcast, but just use that as a forum to post really inappropriate memes and think it's hilarious. And at the end of the day, I just don't want my name attached to something like that.
I get it, dude.
It really broke my heart when I saw somebody was hurt and that the overall mentality of people on that page was to gang up on that person as opposed to maybe be like, hey, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe we can cool it off a little bit. So honestly, I have no idea if that page is coming back. I'd like for it to come back. But if it comes back, I'm going to be honest. It's zero tolerance. If you at all post something that I think is wrong, whether it be a rape joke, whether it be homophobic, whether it be transphobic, whether it be racist, just whether it be just dickish in any way, shape, or form, you are blocked.
Yeah,
the post is removed and you're blocked and banned from the page. I don't even care if you're a hardcore Migscast listener. If you're going to be a dick about something, I'm just done with it.
Well, and you can't risk that association, Steve.
Exactly.
You know, like,
exactly.
And I think fans, of course, we all have dark senses of humor. God knows I've said some really messed up stuff on the show.
Some of my group chats with you guys. I mean, we go down, but we know when to pull it back and we know when to not. It's with us.
I think fans of the show know that, you know, I'd step in front of a freight train for a stranger.
Yeah.
And I really do care about people's feelings, but I'll make dark.
Oh, yeah.
I make dark jokes sometimes at my own expense.
Oh, the worst jokes I make are about myself.
Yeah. But you put it in perspective. Yeah. I got this thing. That's literally what I was talking about earlier. While we were talking about Lord of the Rings, and that's why I didn't put it on Facebook, even though I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
it was one of those progressions of meth things.
Yeah,
and it started with this really kind of pretty girl, and within four photos, oh my lord, like she doesn't even look human. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, dude. And I immediately had a joke for that. But I didn't post it publicly because I knew someone would be like, man, to make fun of someone with a drug problem like that, you're just sick. And it's like, dude,
right.
I myself have battled addiction. I've lost dear and beloved friends to addiction. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm the type of guy that I can make a joke about this because this has nothing to do with my dead friends
right.
or yours.
Right.
You know, but I sent it just to Justin because I knew he would get the, basically, Smeagol finds the ring and turns into Gollum, the monster. Yeah.
And the Rev hates drug users.
Yeah, right.
Hey, now.
The joke was basically like, dude, this isn't meth. She obviously found the one ring and we need to be ready. And it's a pretty damn good joke, but I kept it private because I knew if I put it out there publicly, someone was going to be offended by it. Yeah. Even though I've got my own tale to tell regarding substance abuse and even loss of too many, three, four, five.
Yeah.
good friends, people I loved.
Right, not just acquaintances.
But I'll make a drug joke. And it's like, how can you do that? That's not funny. It's like, you don't need to tell me that's not funny. But to me, it's like, hey, you know, I'm not talking about your recovery or your loved one. It's just a Lord of the Rings
joke. But people internalize stuff.
That's right. And that's why I'm bringing that up.
That's wrong of them to do that. And that's what I think she did. Something triggered something because of just her backstory. And then it went down this road of, hey, guys, this hurt me. And then now people are like, screw you.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the...
Well, and that's why I bring that up because I've learned in recent years to keep some jokes private because someone like Justin knows that I'm just making a joke, man.
Oh, yeah.
But if I put it out there publicly, someone that doesn't really know me well might be like, man, that you would make fun of someone that destroyed their life like that.
The hard, weird world of social media.
So I self-censor.
Now.
I self-censor very cautiously because I want to make everyone happy, make everyone smile, make everyone laugh.
You could put that out there and it could be for a specific amount of people or anything like that, but then they see somebody that you may not even realize is following you, sees that. And they don't have to be your friend on Facebook. They can just be following you. And then they see that, and then they have that perception of you, and then they can literally at this point complain to somebody and really do some harmful things to your livelihood a lot of the time.
Well, exactly. The three of us doing what we do. Mm-hmm. And even then, within the realm of, I mean, basically it's sort of a meth joke, but I have two very close friends that are recovering from meth addiction. Mm-hmm. And we've had amazing conversations. So it's one of those things where, it's not, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not the fault of the person who's offended. It's simply that they don't know me well enough to know my backstory. Mm-hmm. So at point blank range, they look at that and they go, God,
this guy's a dick.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so because they don't know me that well, I choose to self-censor. It's not because everyone's, you know, they too thin skin or whatever. I respect anyone's feelings. Mm-hmm. I self-censor basically because they just don't know.
They don't know the context.
Yes, exactly.
And that makes sense.
Exactly, yeah. Man. So I only bring that up as a frame of reference for that lady. That's why I'm saying it's not right to say, hey, you need to lighten up.
No, and I'm glad she said something. I'm glad she tagged me because had she not, she would have just, and I would have not maybe seen that.
Yeah.
And she would have had this impression of me, which really would, there's not many things that would bum me out about how people view me, but when someone would view me in that way, that would devastate me. And it did. Like, it put me in a rut to the point where I was just like, F this. I almost fully just deleted the thing. And I'm like, ugh.
I didn't even know they had an archive mode, so good job finding that.
Right. That's the only way I figured
it. I just nuked it.
You know, no surprise. You did the classy thing. Mm-hmm. You reached out to her on a personal level and said, hey.
Yeah.
And you started a dialogue.
Well, dude, it happened.
That's the classy move, dude.
Thank you, man. That's the only way I know how to do things.
Well,
I'd just rather talk to somebody. And
you guys, the three, maybe not me, but you guys are classy guys.
Oh, you are.
And that's how you're
top level,
you know. And that's why I went on that little diatribe about all that, was to say that, you know, her feelings are legitimate.
100%.
And so when someone says, dude, that's messed up, even though your instinct is like, oh, God, lighten up, which I get.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're sitting there going, you don't know me. I would never. Why don't you?
But the thing is,
they don't know you. So you have to just go, oh, God, I've offended you.
And the crazy part with that one, I had nothing to do with it other than being the page where it was housed
on. Well, it's called the Migs Cast. There's your last name, brother.
I wasn't like commenting on it. I wasn't the one who posted it, but that's just how crazy things can be, and I understand why.
Yeah.
Dude, it even happens on the radio. Like, remember that other day? We had a really, at the moment, felt like a super fun break, and then I realized later on, rather quickly, because I had a firsthand conversation where I was like, oh my gosh, I was awful. We were talking about how people, you know, will sometimes scam to get to the front of the line of amusement parks.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, you know, people who are blind or on in wheelchairs can get to the front. And then I just start going on this whole line, like jokes of me being like, I'm blind, I'm in a wheelchair, get me in the front of the line, screw it, let's all lie. You know, At the time, I felt like, oh, we were riffing, having a good time, big laughs. Later on in the day, I get a message from our boss. He goes, hey, man, I got this voicemail, and he forwarded it to
me. Oh, no.
The message was from a guy who's like, I just want to let you. He wasn't even being a jerk about it. He was just like, I was very disappointed in what your morning show was doing. They were joking about people who cut the line intentionally by pretending to be in a wheelchair, pretending to be blind at amusement parks. Well, I have two children who are blind and in wheelchairs.
Oh, God.
And I'm just listening to his voicemail, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, everything that I made fun of was everything that he deals with every day. That's a struggle for this poor man.
And I'm sorry, and I don't want to be that guy.
Uh-huh.
But I find the odds of someone having two blind children
who
are disabled, in my heart, someone took a swipe at you because they thought what you were saying was wrong, and they made that up to make sure you felt bad.
I don't believe that.
I'm sorry that I'm that big of a skeptic, but
I mean,
what are the odds?
I called him.
Oh, really?
I got the message, and I was like, I was at wrestling
training.
So now
I'm a huge D.
Well, I mean, I didn't say send me proof, but I had a very... It was a long conversation. Man. But, dude, I saw the message, and I was like, I'm going to contact him. And Dave's like, I'm already contacting him. I'm like, no.
I'm going to call
him. You can contact him as well, but I'm going. So I was at wrestling training when I saw it. It was like Friday. I'm like, of course, this is my weekend. I just devastated some dude who's a fan of our show, just trying to probably get some levity in his life when he's dealing with whatever it is, including some kids that are battling some stuff. And here I am making fun of the very thing that he battles every day. So I just called him and like, hey, man, I have nothing. I'm Steve. I'm the guy who said the stuff that upset you. And he's just like, oh, man, thanks. You didn't have to call. And like, he's like, clearly at work. He's like, I appreciate you calling, but you really didn't have to. I'm like, no. I just want to let you, like, I'm not calling to explain myself. I'm
like,
just
hey,
calling
man.
To say, I'm sorry. All I can do in the future is keep this in the back of my mind and not make the same mistake. And I've done that before where I made a transsexual joke. And it was a harmless one, I thought, but a transsexual person contacted us via text and called me out on it. And my response was, you're absolutely right. And that blew them away. They were just like, wait a second. You're not trying to fight me? And so the guy, I talked to him, and I was just like, this is what's up. I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, man, I appreciate that. It just hurt when I heard it because you have no idea what warriors these kind of kids are that deal with what they deal with and still find joy in something like going to an amusement park. And I was like, my man.
Even that sentence probably made you feel even worse.
Oh, I cried.
I understand. I understand the sentiment there. No, it's my friend
sitting here.
I didn't mean to self-censor,
but I'm looking my friend in the
real
eye.
Real talk.
I never shared this just because I never really had a need to, but this is a conversation where all I want to say is to the people out there that maybe do like the post douchey stuff or want to gang up on someone when they're hurt by it, just think for a second that you have no idea what's going on in their world, why it triggered them, why it maybe upsets them, why it offends them. It might seem minuscule to you. It might even seem like it's not even like how I'll get some thick skin, you snowflake, that crap, whatever it is. Maybe just think for a second, be like, you know what? Maybe they just need a little empathy and say, my bad. Remove it. How does that hurt you to remove an awful meme that's joking about rape? No. Remove it and move on and show that person you give an F.
A lot of people, though, if they realize they've hurt someone's feelings, they feel bad and their defense mechanism triggers a response, which is to be defensive.
You're absolutely right.
We're talking about human nature. It's hard to face that you might have just really hurt someone.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people trigger into defense mode, like, oh, come on, give me a break. You're not serious, right?
Right, because you want them to be like, oh, you're right.
And that
then
doesn't
you can kind of
make
move on.
Them to be a bad person.
No, I know.
We're talking about human nature. And even the lines of, like, you were talking about, like, transsexual jokes and stuff. Like, man, I've got a really, actually, you'll meet him. He's flying out here for Migs Fest, staying with Tawny and I. My buddy Chris Dodrell, he's the guy that took the picture that's my album cover.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
I love this cat. And one of the reasons I've always respected the hell out of him is he's openly gay in Western Maryland, okay? This is a place where I got beat up a lot for having blonde, curly hair.
Well, so, I mean, a lot of people are jealous of that hair.
Right, dude. Oh, God.
As a bald man, I want to beat you up.
When Chris is like, hey, this is who I am, and I'm like, doing that in Western Maryland, this guy has all the balls in the world.
Yeah.
And we're friends, but when I'm with Chris, I can literally be like, oh, dude, that's effing gay. And he's like, dude, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a weird tightrope because here's my buddy and these things are fair game and hilarious and cool because he knows me and he knows that it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so you find yourself in this position of walking a real tightrope. Like, what's acceptable to the person on your right might not be acceptable to the person on your left under the same circumstances.
Couldn't agree more.
And so you have to tread so carefully, you know?
No, it's a challenge, especially on the radio, man. When you're,
I can't,
when
you're
just,
you know my sense of humor. Yeah. I say some messed up stuff.
Sure.
And man, there's a lot of, man, like deep, deep stuff that only like my wife knows, just, you know, that I don't share.
Right.
I've only ever shared certain stuff with friends that I've found out have been through some of the same things I've been through. And so when I make a joke like that, it's like, man, coming from me.
Right.
You know, I am the pot calling the kettle black.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
And I'm the kettle too.
Yeah.
But if you don't know me on a personal level, I could see someone being, it's just, it's a real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I try to self-censor, and I think we should be cautious, but you can't be too cautious, or you're just going to kill humor. Well, you're going to kill comedy.
Yeah.
It's a real tightrope.
Well,
I don't know what I'm trying to say other than I think it's, but the thing is,
at that point, I mean, you talk about killing comedy, and it's like, no, most of the point, you're trying to kill memes. And it's like, people are trying to put in these complicated matters, and they're trying to boil them down into a meme that's not going to work on that sort of thing. Like, between something posted on Facebook and a performance by a comedian who's put hours and hours and hours of work into it to hone their craft are completely different things.
Sure.
And there's a lot of the times where I'll just be flat out, if it's somebody who thinks that they've been able to tie something up in a cute bow on a meme and like, this is the way it's going to be, it's either an unfollow or it's a mute.
I'm the king of the scroll past.
Or it's an unfriend. Yeah. Like, there's so many times where I'm like, I don't need what you think I need in my life based on a picture and some words on that picture. And it's part of the problem with social media at this point in time.
It is.
Is that, and I mean, when you get into the greater thing, it's just humanity in general. Humans ruin everything. And so when you get down to all of that and they're trying to bring everything together like that, it's like, this isn't how this works. And people can have reactions to different things that aren't the same as yours. Understand that when you're putting that out there, that it doesn't go away. It's not just a joke between friends, as you're saying.
Yeah, it's a public
it's
forum.
It's there forever, and people don't understand how public this is.
I know, that's very true.
And we've had that in the past with the growing pains of people who were posting and oversharing, and you'll always have that. And you have to realize, oh, if somebody's posting about how, you know, how sad they are, messed up they are, or what's they're going through, you shouldn't be sitting there being, again, like the bucket buck up or anything like that. Understand where they're coming from. If you don't want to hear that anymore, it's really simple. You can mute what they're saying, or you can, again, scroll past.
Yeah.
But don't crap on it, or don't try to bring it all together and say, this is the way it should be with a meme. Like, it's just, it's not
like,
cool.
It's like you over-engage. I think people over-engage. Whereas they see something, because I've got some friends, people that I know that I'm also friends with on Facebook, some of their belief systems, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
like, letting you know about it on social media.
That's right.
You.
And when I see that, I just scroll on past. By.
Yeah. Not even engaging.
Yeah. I just scroll. I'm not going to engage. And then the next thing they put up is like maybe a picture of them with their daughter. And I'm like, heart emoji. Right. Man, that made my day.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully you don't raise your daughter to be as ignorant as you, though.
Yeah, but but seriously, brother.
You're not wrong.
That's
man.
A legit. Yeah, what you just said's on point, man.
Yeah. The end of all, as far as the page, I honestly don't know when, but it'll come back. And if it doesn't, hopefully people could find that whole Facebook group that's for the fan page. Honestly, though, I would rather, if it does come back, the last thing I want to see is people who aren't listeners of this podcast on that page. I know that sounds counterproductive.
I always thought that's what it truly was. It
just eventually you get requests. I'm not going to have time. Like, they have things that could make a questionnaire. So I'm thinking about maybe, like, in order to join this group, you have to agree to
answer
these set these of rules.
Questions three.
I won't do the questions, but, like, there's, like, a thing like, hey, here's just the basis of how we are in this page.
Code of conduct,
and if you could agree to this, then you could be in this group. And then if people complain about you, you're out of the group. I was also thinking maybe enlisting the help of a few of the hardcore of the listeners to be administrators.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And you know what? Like, guys, like I'm not putting them on the spot, but like guys like Caesar or Guido or Augustine, or, you know, there's a bunch of others that are just like big fans of the podcast that I feel like understand what the spirit is. And look, they're trash talkers just as much as the rest of us.
Well, but so are we.
But they know the line.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
Caesar's
what I mean?
The one that hit me up and said, bro, we've got a page going. I'm like, what? I thought I was already on it.
Yeah.
And he went, no, man. This one's, I think it was called like Mixcast Fans Only or something.
Fans.
And I'm like, bro, but it was great. There were three questions that had to be answered. And I think the first one was like,
Do you find Steve sexy?
No. It was yes, great no. because yes. it was like, I can't remember what it was, but it was something like, why do you love the Migs cast or something like that? And I was like, that's actually, cool. I don't. Steve and Rev make me go into the station every Tuesday and do this damn show.
I want nothing to do with parking. It.
And somehow I hit submit and I didn't get to answer the next two questions because I was going to make my answers hilarious. Yeah. So whoever reviewed them would crack up laughing. And I only got to answer one and I was truly bummed. But
quit the group and join it again.
Yeah, I think I will. Hey, Caesar, kick me out so I can try over, bro.
So yeah, I mean, if you find that page, join that. Because honestly, like, I've gone to that page and I'm having fun again.
Yeah.
On the group page, because it's just the diehards that understand where the line is. Yeah, we can talk crap. Like, that was like a conversation on there. Like, can we still make fun of each other about our teams? I'm like, yeah, just don't. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, just don't get angry at each other when you're making fun of each other's sports teams, because it's silly when you get so mad you want to fight someone over a team that makes that doesn't give a crap about you as a fan.
Well, and I would say, too, and you guys, I've done it probably twice already this morning. I will often riff on or make fun of something that's kind of off color. But you'll usually hear me quickly follow that up with a, man, I'm sorry, you know, I don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Even though Steve and Justin know I don't mean anything, I will still say, like the day I cracked up about St. Jude.
Oh, it's so funny.
You know, my
and
wife.
You were so worried that I was hurt by that.
My wife was like you apologized so much. I'm like, well, I laughed really heavily.
I laughed harder.
At a fairly serious situation.
Yeah.
But I make sure to slam those apologies home. So if there's ever even any doubt.
But there's an example of that. I know who you are. You know our relationship.
Yeah.
If like, but
even
a random
then,
person.
Even then, I still apologize to make sure you know, like, hey, man, I'm funning with you. If there is a line that I just crossed, this is my legit apology.
It takes
apology.
A lot. It honestly takes a lot for someone to cross a line with me. Honestly, it's just when somebody misunderstands who I am as a human, and that's when I had to step in and have that conversation with her, and I'm so glad I did, because she's a super awesome person.
Is she a listener of the
huge
the
fan
cast?
Of the podcast. That's why it hurt
well, if
her.
I've said anything so far today that I should take back, I'm sorry.
No, and she even said, like, she's like, you know, she works in the military and stuff, so like she's used to crass humor. It was just that went too far.
That was over the line.
And that, even if you're not used to it and you're sensitive to it all the time, I would still think that was wrong of somebody to post up there.
I didn't see the joke.
I'll have to try and find it.
You don't have to, but I'm assuming if it was the point where it actually triggered something.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
And then and that's another problem is when they're not even funny. I mean, get the F out.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many people I was looking at on the page. It's like these political jokes are unfunny. And then there's like ones that are just straight up racist.
I don't joke about politics. I would never, man.
Yeah, there was one guy I completely just banned right before I archived the page.
Dude, sexuality, racism, politics, religion. I don't go near
I'm
those.
I'm archiving this page, but before that,
I'm banning this guy. I did. I was like, and he might be a listener. And if you can't find the page, that's why. You're banned because you're a freaking piece of crap.
Yeah.
So figure out who you are as a human.
Yeah.
And I'm basing that on memes. That's how sad it is.
Well,
because all the memes you're posting are racist, homophobic, sexist.
Really? It was like that?
Yes.
Huh? Oh, that's a shame, dude. That's
just
a shame.
Awful. And I'm like, that's great you find this funny. And I'm sure there are other people that do as well. I don't. And I think it's sad that you find this funny. That's
well,
just
and the real trick is, which we've circled a bunch of times, even if one person doesn't find it funny, man, oops.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. And then if the line's crossed, you know, Steve immediately was like, hey, and he reached out on a personal level. That's, you know, because we're going to, I think.
We're going to screw up as humans.
Yeah, people
yeah
will.
I'm going to screw up. I'm going to say something that
bound
I probably wish I hadn't. And I know how my mind is quicker than my mouth. So sometimes some of the S that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, God, what
did
I just
swear that
say?
Time. Good job. Thank you.
I'm trying, man.
Oh, dude.
Well, when Steve said he started crying, I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
My protect my buddy thing flips on, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to step in front of that train.
All right, so let's move on. No, we got something very important to talk about that has nothing to do with hurting people's feelings.
Oh.
It has to do with melting people's faces, and that is Migs Fest 3.
Yes!
So Glenn and I were talking, like, we need to put together a little promo video. And he's like, hey, man, you are able to make these promo videos on your phone all the time.
I was going
to
sit in front of a laptop and put together essentially a 15 to 20 second commercial for Migs Fest.
Yeah.
And I knew that would take me 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then the light bulb went off and I was like, my God, because I was in the middle of juggling 15 other things before work.
It's like, wait.
And I was like,
Steve knows how to make videos.
Yes.
He makes great wrestling
Steve
videos.
Steve throws his phone on the couch and a video hops out of it. I'm like, maybe Steve.
I just made one for Reactivate where I'm going to be on Sunday in Richland. And it took me literally 30 minutes to put together the entire
You're
promo.
Really good.
I want
like,
you to
phone?
Show me
on
this.
My
he's
phone.
The man.
Dude, you're good at that. You are so good at
so
that.
Steve's so good at it.
Right, I'm like, I don't know if they've
really
posted
jealous.
It yet, but the video actually turned out pretty funny. It's even without...
He's coming back.
Listen to this.
To Richland. Fresh off his last win at Reactivate Professional Wrestling, local celebrity Steve Miggs is back.
If you could see this video, it looks like the kind of thing you'd pay someone $2,500 to put together. Fries.
You just walked over the punchlines, Glenn.
Come on!
He's trying to hurt your feelings.
Well, no. Well, there's a part where it goes, kids love him, and I show the video of the kid flipping me off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then the part where it says, and he will eat your french fries, and there's a video of me eating someone's french fries.
Well, let me see it again. I won't talk.
Kids love him.
It's just that our audience can't see it.
And he will eat your french fries.
I'm sure I'll be on Reactivate Pro Wrestling's Facebook
page.
That's
cool, dude. Dude, the way the camera zoomed in on your t-shirt and stuff, like the stuff he's doing, like I can barely text.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
What the hell is going on with Steve's phone?
Dude, that's all I like doing on my phone. Honestly, I love making videos. And with wrestling, I love making these stupid promo videos. I had a couple people, Ethan Page, who I wrestled. He was like, dude.
Oh, I love Ethan.
He's like, your promo video. He's like, well, he goes, who made that promo video of ours? And I'm like, oh, I did. And he goes, you did? I'm like, yeah, I did all on my phone. He's like, that was so cool, man. Thank you for making it. I'm like, no. That's my ongoing theme is I have an announcer guy. He goes, does your announcer guy always make fun of you? I'm like, no. You're the first person that he turned his back on me to show support for. And he's like, oh, I'm so honored. And he's like, I have a good laugh about it. And I was just showing him and explaining to him how I do my promo. He goes, man, more local guys should do that. Like more, I can't believe that more people don't do what you're doing. He's like, these are freaking awesome. And I was like, man, that made my day. Like here's a guy who's on Impact Wrestling being like, what you're doing is freaking cool. So yeah, awesome.
Those are awesome. Well, that's why just the quality of what, like, what you just showed me is like, dude, what? So I was like, I'll ask Steve to make it. Because mine will be like, generic, Migs Fest 3, generic.
Star
generic,
wipe.
Glenn doesn't know how to do this. Yeah, and it would be like a star wipe.
So you know?
Seriously, it would be. Crossfade. Ooh. I got let's see how the text dissolved.
Ooh. So I'm thinking we put together the promo on the podcast right now.
Oh.
We'll do the audio parts, right?
All right.
And the video, I will edit later.
Okay.
So like, I was thinking like it will be like, you know, selling the whole thing. And I was thinking, I got this stupid music I'll even play for you just so you get an idea of what I'm talking about. I'll be like, this show's out of this world, and then this kind of music will play.
It's the Carvel song.
I wish. Actually, that would be way better.
Wow. That is out of this world.
Right? And they'll be like, starring Steve, and then you'll go like, Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction. And there'll be a pause. And then you'll go, Peter DeStefano from Porno for Pyros. And then I'll be like, and Zach Malang from Supersonic Soul Pins for Migs Fest 3. Also on the show. And then we'll name the bands, and I've got little clips of our bands.
I love it.
And then I'll piece it all together, and it'll be our magical promo.
It's
that sounds
be awesome.
I think you just did the promo right there, dude.
Well, it could have. Yeah, that's a good point.
I would just use that. Even that ending where he's like, okay, good point.
Guys, so this is what we're going to do.
So our hope is, this, obviously, we want people to come to the show. You don't want to miss out. This is going to be an insane party.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. We did two in a row. And they were amazing, and we took a year off.
We needed a year to recover.
We did.
But we're back, and we want people to come celebrate the fact that we're back.
And it's October 12th, us. Club Sur, or is it SUR?
Club Sur. Let's do Club Sur. Because every time I say, it's down at SUR, people are like, you mean what? Club Sur? And I'm I don't know. It's the CIA.
It's like the TV channel.
I contacted Chris.
Well, here's the thing. I don't see any little periods in between each one.
So it's Club Sur.
So I think it is Club. I mean,
well, it's like AXS, the TV channel. I hear people call it Access.
I've heard of Access as well.
I was like, well, it's just three letters.
But it's Access.
Well, NXT in wrestling is NXT. It's not Next.
There's been
is
a murder.
Not?
We'll contact the.
Oh, I kind of thought it was.
But you know, they call it NXT.
Why do they keep changing all of these rules?
Right. We need uniform rules.
Need
I blame the Hobbits.
I know, dude. It's
so
the
I
one
figure
ring.
I'll start it up and I'll be like, I'll say the show that's out of this world featuring, and then I'll point at you and you say,
okay,
you'll do Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction, and then I'll point at you and you'll do
Peter DeStefano from Porno for Pyros.
Yes.
It's better if
I wrote
you stutter.
It down. I wrote it down.
Oh, okay. If you stammer, that'll be S hot.
I'm trying.
Come on, man.
I'm trying.
From I loved you in It.
And then I'll be like Zach Malang, Supersonic Soul Pips. It's Migs Fest 3.
All right.
Also featuring, and then we'll
Bruiser Brody.
And then we'll take a pause because I haven't edited. And when I edit it together, it'll be a lot clearer. I could have just had his voice. This is not on the promo, but I thought it'd be fun to do the behind the scenes.
Well, no, you get to see how the sausage is made. Yeah. And there's not enough sausage in this world.
And we've
you
got
guys
three sausages.
See how the hot dogs are made.
Yeah, we got three wieners in
you
this.
You know, I've got three bins full of chicken colons, and we're going to grind that up and we're going to make some hot dogs.
Speaking of that, I believe Jerry's Big Dogs. Last I heard, he was planning on coming, so I'll double check him.
Jerry.
So Migs Fest is happening October 12th, and that's going to be a blast.
At Club Sir.
All right, get tickets at eventbrite.com.
I thought it was Even Tribe.
Don't do that.
Am I dyslexic? Really?
Even Tribe?
It's Even
Tribe. I thought it was Eventbrite.
It's Eventbrite.
How's that?
Even Tribe?
Even Tribe. That's,
Even Tribe isn't a thing, man.
No, no. Look, man, I don't get a lot of sleep.
Apparently.
Eventbrite.
No, I just paid.
It's Eventbrite.
I paid to boost a post.
Edit it.
Can you
delete
edit?
And reboost?
Yeah, Eventbrite.
I put it on.
Eventbrite.
Get your tickets via Eventbrite.
That's the name of the podcast.
And come join us.
That is the name of the podcast.
You so, okay, it's word? Letting me edit it. So, it's Eventbrite.
Brite.
Oh, man.
This is a better promo than any promo we can make. Eventbrite.
The second time you made me snort today, Glenn.
That's not where you get your Migs Fest tickets.
Eventbrite.
It's Eventbrite.
Okay.
Buy your tickets before they sell. Ow! Ow!
Freezing, standing in the street because nobody bought the tickets.
Maybe that's why tickets haven't been selling. I'm just kidding.
Oh, crying has to pay all the artists out of his own pocket.
Peter DiStefano from Porno for Pyros.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just trying because I couldn't say Porno for Pyros for the life
all
of
right.
me.
I feel like this is going to take more than one take.
Wait, I'm still...
Hey, man, what'd you do in the podcast? Bitched about Facebook and did a promo.
Yo.
And talked about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Oh, wait, because I put it in two places. I'm editing my second post now. Eventbrite looks nothing like Eventbrite.
Dude, that's straight up dyslexia moment.
Yeah,
right
dude.
My mind is faster than my mouth, which is hard to believe. And oftentimes my thumbs can't keep up with my thumbs can't keep up with my brain.
I think I'm thinking about this with this weird galaxy alien music. I'm gonna try and get like those little alien ships and put like Stephen Perkins' face in it and have it like a little flying around in there.
Please, please.
If I could pull that off,
okay.
This could be the most. It's gonna be like a 2-minute promo. I gotta keep it under a minute, hopefully for Instagram.
Thanks for making fun of my.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know what? If we didn't, people would be going to Eventbrite.
I wonder how many people went to Eventbrite and they're like, what?
This isn't working.
Is that even a website?
I don't think so. I'm not. With these computers,
it's like
I'm
a man
not
on
click
vegetable
on anything
porn
anything.
Site.
Even, let me see. Eventbrite. Oh, Seahawks score. No.
Billy does a watermelon on the Eventbrite.
On the Eventbrite.
Eventbrite is not a website.
What about Oddtribe?
Nope. But if you do Google Eventbrite, it does bring you to Eventbrite.
Thank God. Because I'm telling you, I've dropped, I think the last when I did, I dropped $100
like,
into the
if
promo.
You Google oh. it, well, if you boost, Google it, it will actually go to...
To get any traction from my artist page,
one of the first hits.
You got to pay. And so I pay more than people would believe.
You know, that's a good point. If anyone who's
and
listening...
So I have it out there. I paid good money to be like, you know, don't forget to go to Volkswagen.com and get your Migs Fest 3 tickets.
If anyone wants to help us, we always, you know, people are like, hey, how can I... don't buy a t-shirt or anything like that. Don't review this week. This week's goal is either buy a ticket, let's sell this out, or if you can't buy a ticket and you're on the fence about it, share the event.
Share
the poster.
Share.
Let people know to go get tickets to this.
That, not sunny.
Migs Fest listen. Migs Cast listen. We appreciate
bright.
That. All right. So the show is out of this world, and then I'm going to be featuring, and then we'll be like a big.
Okay. Yeah. You
right,
say when.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's hopefully this works. It's a show out of this world featuring
Stephen Perkins of Jane's Addiction,
Peter DiStefano from Porno for Pyros,
and Zach Malang from Supersonic Soul Pimps. Migs Fest 3, October 12th at Club Sir. Also featuring...
All right, then we'll each get one band.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
That was good. Yeah, we actually really one take. Yeah.
I feel like we're pros. So,
I mean, 15 minutes, one
hard.
Take.
It felt good.
Yeah, that was nice. Hot. Yeah.
Now, should we start with the first band first or start with the next?
You should lead up, right?
I'm thinking we go from Bruiser Brody backwards.
Okay.
And then we can wrap it by saying, and a special unplugged performance by Intisar.
Okay.
Right? All right.
So you'll start. Who wants to do Bruiser Brody first?
Me.
Okay.
Because I know that one.
And then Glenn, should we have Glenn do Glenn or I'll do Glenn?
You should do Glenn.
Yeah, you should do me,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, you can do that later.
You should do me.
Yeah.
Do me hard.
All right. All right, so ready, Rev, when I point at you then be like, Bruiser Brody!
Bruiser Brody!
All right, this is so sausages being made. All right, next up, then I'm going to be doing Glenn Cannon.
Yeah.
All right.
Every day.
All the time. Should it be the Glenn Cannon band? Or would you rather just Glenn Cannon?
You know what, man?
That's a good question.
We're literally having a meeting about the rebranding tonight. No, just call it the Glenn Cannon Band.
For now?
Yeah, until I've talked to the guys.
Okay.
Because we're rebranding it. It's going to be Glenn Cannon and the Damage Done, I'm hoping.
Oh, I like that.
I like it too.
Ooh,
I like it too.
Maybe we'll do both.
Oh yeah, just in case. So you can
and I'll
switch
let you
it up.
Know. I'll hit you up and be like, they voted it up or they voted it down.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna vote it up.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna do a full digital re-release and stuff because I'm tired of battling this other Glenn Cannon guy.
Yeah, screw that guy.
plus for booking purposes, as I'm working on doing our West Coast tour with AJ Von Wolf, they get Glenn Cannon, and because I'm not whoever. They're like, so is it a solo? So it's just him acoustic. And
right.
So then we decided on Glenn Cannon Band, which I think is just generic as F. So Glenn Cannon, the Damage Done.
I like that.
I really like it too.
Yeah. Should we just do it that way? And
yeah, do it. Do it.
And just keep it that way.
I'll be like, guys, we already cut a promo at KSW. So.
Blame it on Steve. Steve screwed up.
I'll be like, dude, I paid Steve $50 to say it that way. So at least for this show.
So no, Glenn I would Cannon never do that to and this. The Damage Done.
Glenn Cannon, the Damage Done.
All right,
done.
We ready? Here we go. Glenn Cannon and the Damage Done.
That was nice.
All right, we got that one now. Yeah. All right, so next up would be Wyatt Only in the Wreckage, right?
Yep.
All right, so that's
good. I'll do Wyatt.
Yep. I know he'll like that.
Shh, Wyatt.
All right,
ready to rock. Just scream into the pillow, buddy. I'll bite your earlobe. It'll be over soon.
Go whenever you want.
Can I say the return of?
Yeah.
Because it is, right?
I think so.
Oh, fresh out of the studio. Because I think they have new material.
Fresh. All right.
Yeah. Wyatt, if you don't like any of this, there's nothing you can do
about
it.
Suck it. Bite dicks.
Yeah, bring us some dicks.
Bite the pillow, buddy. Okay. Fresh out of the studio, Wyatt Only and the Wreckage.
Nice. That was good.
I felt very good about that. It felt strong. It felt strong.
All right. So next up would be Celia. Rev, you're going to be doing Celia.
Celia.
Yes.
And then also Celia. Huh? Like that?
I would do Celia.
Just Celia.
And then we'll do and a special unplugged performance by Intisar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Celia!
This is like the laziest way to put together a promo.
No, this is rad.
No, this is great.
Rev, have you seen Celia yet?
They're
have either of you guys seen Celia?
Never live.
I don't think I've seen them live, no.
They are bitching, man.
No, I'm really pumped to see those guys.
I'd love to see that band just grow and grow. They're the sweetest guys. I've been dealing a lot with Nate on the business side, getting advances, stuff like that. Really cool, down-to-earth guys. And God, do they throw down live.
That's awesome.
They're like Seattle's anti-hero, man.
No, I really dig them.
Kind of energy, dude.
Right,
it's just like, we are a tractor. We're going to plow through this venue, and you're going to love it. It's really cool, man. I love that band.
Tractor and plow.
All right, we're going to have you do the special acoustic, and then... All right.
And a special unplugged performance by Intisar.
Nice.
God, I love her music.
Yeah, that was actually
she's got an awesome voice.
As soon as he pressed play, I was like, oh, it's just somewhere, and it's too big of a file for me to send to you guys, but I shot 98% of her doing the Nirvana song Dumb.
I have it on my. Remember we played it one time.
Dude, yeah. She busted it out at the High Dive. I went to see her open for Aisha. And
I hope she does that at Mix Fest.
Dude, and I was like, boop, and I got my phone out and I taped her doing, like, I missed 2 seconds of the intro and got the rest of the song.
That's so killer. It's in a phenomenal version.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, everything she does is, I'm a huge fan, right?
All right, so now I'll just wrap it up. I'll just say Mix Fest 3, October 12th. Get your tickets at Even Tribe. All right, here we go.
Okay.
I'll get past this part. All right, here we go. Mix Fest 3, October 12th. Club Sir. Get your tickets at eventbrite.com. Buy the damn tickets.
Dang it, sorry.
Perfect.
Couldn't help laughing.
Dude, when I hear that music, I just picture myself. You know how when you're a little kid, you used a towel and you made a cape out of it?
Yeah.
So I'd be wearing like swimming goggles, a cape, and otherwise be fully nude.
Yeah.
And just running around my house hiding behind stuff.
It just reminds me of the whole Area 51 debacle.
Yeah. 70 people showed up.
What was it like? Yeah, 2 million people said yes and 70 people showed up. I saw the meme out there, again, going on memes, but it was just like, so everybody with a local band knows exactly what this feels like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was like, it's
2 million interested, 70 attending.
Yeah. We got 500 people saying they're coming. Then you show up and it's like 50.
And your grandma.
Yeah.
It just goes to show.
Hate when grandma.
If there's a flying saucer in there, people just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
We got some, let's do some voicemails, emails, and text messages. And get your tickets, Mix Fest. Get them before, please get them in advance. That'd be great.
It'll save you $5. I tried to make this just a flat $20. It's six artists, guys. But when the venue put it together, they went ahead and did a day of upcharge. So it's 20 and 25. Mm-hmm. So save yourself the $5. Buy them in advance for $20. It's six artists.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a stupid huge bill. Plus, you know, dude, it's the drummer from Jane's Addiction, the guitarist from Porno for Pyros, Zach from Supersonic Soul Pimps.
And who knows who they're bringing up on stage.
They're going to have a bunch of guest singers. It's going to be ripping. I mean, normally you could charge $20-$30 just for that.
Yeah.
And it's $20 for six artists. I mean, dude, buy your ticket in advance. Dude. Save the $5. Yep. Come be with
Let's
us.
Let's just say Stephen Perkins knows a few friends. He knows a few people that are from around here that are well-established musicians.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. I don't even know who or what's happening, and I'm kind of excited that I'm going to be blacked out, wasted, and be surprised that night.
And people can tell you the day after what
Steve,
happened.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
They had you front the band for their entire set. What?
You did Zeppelin.
Yeah. You were up there. You were doing the party boy thing where you're just wearing a thong. And
what?
Yeah, like
party boy.
Yeah, remember that from Jackass?
Yeah.
So you don't know what's going to happen at Mix Fest 3. Mix Fest 1 and 2 were just insane parties.
They're not just concerts.
They're parties. We have fun. We throw down. It's so much fun. It's a celebration of really the people who listen to this podcast. And massive thanks to Glenn, who always puts together this show and puts together an insane lineup.
I try.
Yeah.
Tavis LeMay, thank you, Tavis, for getting Perk and DeStefano up here.
And I want to give
a shout-out. Thank you, Steve, for putting together the promo.
For having a birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really what this is Steve's birthday party.
I know.
In case you guys had forgotten.
The other morning we were talking about birthdays. I'm like, yeah, I'm low key. I really don't like doing anything crazy for my birthday. And I meant that. And then someone texted and goes,
My idiot friend puts on concerts every year.
I'm like, I just want to hang out, have some maybe sushi with some friends. But I'm in my 40s. I don't celebrate birthdays anymore. The text lines blow up. I'm like, hey, tell us about Mix Fest 3, Steve. I wasn't
epic.
Even trying to be a funny hypocrite. I was legitimately a hypocrite.
I think you came to think of Mix Fest as Mix Fest.
It's not a birthday party.
You forgot
anymore.
That it all started with you saying it'd be rad to throw up like a big concert for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
And then Glenn made it happen. And extra points to anyone who brings us another cookie puss.
Yeah.
From Carvel.
Which we'll have to lock into a safe security box or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I already got security for that. Yeah.
Briefcase with handcuffs on it.
Oh, yeah, dude. Maybe we can handcuff it to Danny May Red.
Wow.
I'm okay with handcuffing Danny May Red.
She got weirder. She's down, I bet.
She takes the best pictures.
She does.
Shout out
she
to
does.
Her.
Her and
her
Lindsay.
Facebook. Ooh. Yeah, it's fantastic. It always puts me in a good mood. Way better than those
her and Lindsay.
Memes.
Her and Lindsay, they're like the dynamic duo.
They're the Wonder Twins.
I know.
Of sexiness.
Aren't they down in Costa Rica now? Like,
they were
petting sloths and...
I don't know if sloths are in Costa Rica.
No, my wife's head almost exploded.
No, ugly dudes he's talking about. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, I went with him.
Yeah. You and me both. We're the sloths.
Also, shout out to Redemption Rye Whiskey for being the reason Steven and Peter were able to make this trek to Washington to be a part of Migs Fest 3, which is really super freaking cool. All right, let's do some voicemails, some emails, and some text messages.
It's the Migs Cast. It's the Migs
Sturgis.
Yeah.
All right. First text message, 253-271-4787. Guys, welcome back. All is right in my world again. I got midday laughs at work. Glenn loved the album. Spoke with my biker bitch coworker on the bike hand grip tassels. Her first response was, I've been riding for 20 years. If you find out, let me know. LOL. Most guys say they like the look. Because this is all I'm talking about. I said, what's up with those long,
the
graded
whips that hang off the
things?
Grips.
And I just assume that they use them whenever they don't like a driver and want to beat people with it or like hit a window with it.
Whack a jogger as you go by doing 70.
She says, stay positive. Catch you next week. Dude, we got so many messages about this.
Really?
Last week you talked about the braided leather straps hanging from the handlebars of motorcycles. Be careful of those riders. They usually have a piece of ceramic or broken spark plug hidden in the tip. Get them angry and they can break out your window without any effort from Adam and Everett.
Whoa.
There you go.
Next one. Those long braided leather whips off the handlebars, they're held on by metal ring that they're, if a car's being an a-hole, you grab that whip and you smack their windshield to give them a nice crack. That's the purpose of these, but I think most likely they use them now for decoration from Jared, a.k.a.
Big Rig. Okay, so it is like you thought.
Dude, email from from the Jester. He says, fellas, just had a question about those braided whips on the bikes. Yes, they are weapons. Haha. They're called get back whips. I have one on my bike.
Get back whips.
I ride daily. The reasons I've had some here in beautiful Marysville, not beautiful Puyallup, and I accept that, tried to jump me at a stoplight at 2 in the morning heading to work and steal my bike.
Wow. Whoa.
My issue is I can't carry being a registered concealed pistol citizen. My work does not allow it on the premise. So I have to have one of these. They have a nice steel clip on it that's really nice to keep road ragers and people who like to get a little cozy on I-5 with motorcycles. You can't see it well, but it's on my right front brake lever, and I had to send in this picture. I hope Glenn enjoys it just to show him that I have my priorities straight.
Wow.
It looks like he's got a box of Huggies diapers on the back of his motorcycle, which I think is freaking amazing.
He does, my man. Oh, dude, beautiful bike, too. Oh, yeah.
He's got the whip.
He does. He's got Huggies on the back.
So it's what I thought.
That's a gorgeous bike.
Step up, be a fool to a biker, and you're getting the whip.
Yeah.
I like how you put that.
Luckily, I've never had anyone
Real
get
talk.
Whipped. Yeah, I've never been whipped by
a biker.
See,
I'd get one, it'd get wrapped up in my leg, and I'd crash, you know, man? But wow, okay. Beautiful bike, too, bro. That thing's gorgeous.
We got an email from Michael. I wanted to talk about the show at Tony V's.
Oh, okay.
Thought I'd send you guys a review of the Solar Tone Glenn Cannon Band, or was it now Glenn Cannon?
Glenn Cannon and the Damage Done.
And the Damage Done.
I like that, right? You guys like that?
I really do like that.
I do.
Plus, it's GC and the Double D's.
I know. I was about to say, I was like, I got Double D's in it, too. Like, I know that.
I'm sorry.
Five N's and two D's.
But no, I really dig it. I like it. Glenn Cannon and the Damage Done.
Well, man. I mean, it's now official. It's on our promo.
Yeah, we can't take back.
Like, we're having a big powwow tonight about a bunch of stuff.
Well, you're going to have to convince him with this promo.
I'll sneak to Migscast listeners, pretty sure, let's call it 90% sure, we're going to be going back into the studio before the end of the year.
So, can I also, I'm not saying this is another reason why people should come to the show, and we can edit it out if you think it's a bad idea to say this, but this is potentially one of the last Bruiser Brody shows. We have no idea for sure if the band's going to continue, and it's not because we don't like each other.
People that.
It's not that there's no in-house fighting, but if you've listened to the Travis interview on Loud and Local with Kevin, he made it very clear that he's pretty much done doing music.
Back. Yeah, he just got to a place where he felt like I'm on top and I want to go out on top.
Yep.
And
so we've got two shows left, one being Migs Fest, which will be very big, and then another one being at the Tulalip Casino on the following week on the 19th. I'm not saying 100% this band's done after that. But I am saying 100% you won't see us playing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of Bruiser Brody,
you need to see this band live if you have not.
Dude, the show at Migs Fest is going to be super special and next level because of that. I just know it. I mean, it's just going to be. It's just how our band is. There's going to be a lot of energy on stage, a lot of love on stage. And we want you to be there. So if you've been on the fence about seeing us, or if you've seen us and you're a fan of what we do, this might be one of the last opportunities that you're going to get to see us, at least on a frequent basis.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's more than fair to
say. There's no ill will. There's nothing dramatic about what's going on.
Oh, we love each other, dude. It is not. Yeah,
Travis don't posted even... a meme and everyone got pissed about it.
We're done with the band.
Show's done.
Yeah, we love the band. And I hope, I legitimately do hope that we still, at some point, put together a second record. I just don't know if it's going to happen, but if it doesn't, that's okay, because Glenn and I will still do something.
And that album is fantastic. And I almost said a bad word.
And but I think if we did another really one, it'd be on another level.
Yeah.
But it might not.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, though. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know we never addressed it, but I feel like that's a massive selling point for anyone that was thinking about coming to Migs Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check absolutely.
Out. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See where we started and where we finish.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Alpha and the Omega.
The small of your back.
All right. So. So back to our buddy Michael, the musical trucker, with his review of Tony V's. So we had the Solar Tone, Glenn Cannon, and the Damage Done, and the Wyatt Only and the Wreckage Show over at Tony V's earlier this month. He said Solar Tone started off the night rocking with some great music and even a Travis Brock sighting. Next up was Glenn Cannon and his band, who melted our faces with passion and an amazing cover of Tie Your Mother Down as their closing song.
Nice.
Then came Wyatt Only and the Wreckage. Holy crap, they melted our faces off with one of their best performances I've seen this band do. I finished off the night hanging with the boys of the Wreckage, getting burritos and just BSing and laughing. You all rock, from your friend Michael, the musical trucker.
That's rad.
Thank you, Michael.
Burritos. Thanks,
I like
man.
That. Yeah. Nothing wrong with burritos.
No, everything's great about those.
Burritos with the Wreckage. Never a bad thing.
So yeah, so come check us out at Migs Fest 3. Again, October 12th, Club Sur, eventbrite.com. Just type in Migs or Migs Fest. You'll be able to find how to get the tickets. But get your tickets before they sell out. It's going to be a special, special night.
If you Google Even Tribe, apparently it'll redirect you to...
Yeah, well, it'll
show... How funny
like,
is that?
It'll show up. Yeah, no, Google knows, like...
Who screws up.
Exactly.
It's Glenn-proof.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet is pretty much Glenn-proof.
Dude, I'm glad we talked about this. Otherwise, it would have been Event Tribe.
I had read so much stuff that morning alone that when I peeled that out of there, my eyes glanced it and they saw the word Event Tribe, or whatever I said, Eventbrite. I don't even know, but that's
you said even
my brain
tribe.
Went because I was doing even that thing tribe, where I was having to ping pong between two pages to complete the post.
Oh man, I hate that.
Me too.
You always get something lost in translation.
And so I was just gleaning, typing.
The cube.
Yeah. Gleaming the Cube.
Great movie. Christian Slater?
Christian Slater's skateboard film.
Sorry, I totally just did that.
Yeah. That makes me want to watch that movie. Doesn't he like fight crime somehow?
Probably, sure. I mean, it's
he hosts
80s,
a radio
right?
show, I thought.
No, that's Pump Up the Volume.
Which is still a fine
When he
film.
Hung out
with four bitches in high school, right?
No, that was Heather's.
Heather's.
Oh, damn it. What was High Fidelity?
High Fidelity to John Cusack. It's a great movie.
And what was his name in Pump Up the Volume? Was it like Hard Harry?
Harry Hardon.
Happy
Harry Hardon.
Yeah.
It's a great movie, dude. Pump Up the Volume holds up. Heather's is still as dark and funny as it always was.
Yeah.
Gleaming the Cube, however, I don't know. I'll have to check
you
it.
You have to watch that, and then afterwards watch Rad, which was the BMX one.
Oh, with the best dance scene on a BMX bike ever.
Truth.
Now, if you want to see a film that really fell hard on its face, when they try and do like based on a subculture thing or whatever.
Yeah.
They made a motorcycle movie about sport bike riders called Torque.
I remember that. And that was with like Ice Cube, right?
He might have been
Vin
in
Diesel,
it.
Vin Diesel, maybe?
The guy that gets killed by the chick in the well from The Ring, he was like the star.
Oh, geez, I don't remember.
And the smoking hot blonde chick who was in 40 Days and 40
Tara
Nights.
Reed?
Yeah. No, Tara Reed.
Cameron Diaz?
No. I can't remember the girl's name, but she's smoking hot. You guys ever seen 40 Days and 40 Nights with Josh Hartnett?
I was thinking Day and Night.
There's a blonde chick in that movie that's just ridiculous.
A lot of
what's that bitch from Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, jeez.
Catherine Heigl.
No, she was in Knocked
Catherine
Up,
Catherine Cagle?
No.
Cagle.
Cagle?
Yeah,
isn't she mean in person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ruined her career.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Be nice. Or end up at Taco Bell.
Or end up getting banned from the Mixcast fan page.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Catherine. Would you like sauce with that?
Catherine Heigl posted memes and we had to ban her.
It's very true.
Bruce Banner?
Do you remember...
we are all over
it. Remember Pump Up the Volume?
Yes.
The soundtrack was so damn good. That's when I first discovered... I didn't know this was a Leonard Cohen song at the time. But remember Concrete Blonde cover?
Oh, Covered Everybody Knows.
Yeah. That was such a great version.
There's some really good... Yeah!
Her voice sounds so great on this song.
Concrete Blonde was... Man, I wonder what ever happened to them. Because they're a great band. They had that hit Joey. It was huge.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. That was them.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Dude.
Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with the fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight is fixed. The poor stay poor and the
they were off and on until 2012.
Really?
Wow.
Cool. Yeah.
But you can't. I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to do the original. This is one of my favorite songs. Freaking Leonard Cohen's voice.
There's a thing about his where you're almost like, this is cheesy and awful. And then you kind of go, this is brilliant.
Oh, right there.
Yep.
That voice.
Yeah.
I blew my wife's mind when I was like, because she loves that Hallelujah song.
Yeah.
But knows it from every other artist
Jeff
other than
Buckley. Jeff Buckley. Jeff Buckley's cover was the famous one. Yeah.
Famous one. And then like everybody on like any singing show has done it. It's everywhere.
I think they all do it because of the Buckley version.
Yeah. But I played her the original and
she was like, what?
She's like, this is way different. I don't like it as much, but this is cool.
Well, there's a vibe about what he does because there's a camp to that kind of cheesy synth pop thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts singing, and you're like, oh, this isn't campy. This is damn near eerie.
Yeah, if you don't know that, like he originally did Hallelujah, which is
a fantastic song. So good.
I love how we just now ended
featured,
up on
featured in the film There Was a Secret Chord. Watchmen.
Yes.
During a fairly epic sex scene where keeps
in
the boots
owl.
On.
Yeah.
Man.
Those are really nice.
If I was a teen, I would have abused myself to that scene. As an adult, I can watch that kind of thing without having to abuse myself. But as a teen, I would have had to take a moment for personal reflection. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
when I played this, she was like, no way, this is the original?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Step into my office.
Yeah. F yeah.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
So good.
Damn it.
I have goosebumps too.
Well, he was smart. He's like, yeah, I know my voice is weird and different.
This is what I'm going to do.
But this part needs good voices.
That's what I'm saying. With his music, the first time I really got exposed to his music, I heard it and I'm like, oh, God, what is this? It sounds like some kid made it in his basement. Then he starts singing and you're like, oh.
This is why.
Oh, whoa. There's a thing. There is a thing about what he does.
I'm picturing really dark studio, a cigarette in his hand the whole time.
Yeah.
And just like leaning up against the wall.
He's probably actually,
trying.
In reality, it's a brightly lit studio. He's wearing a Hawaiian print shirt and holding a boat drink with little umbrellas in it.
Did some fancy vocal cord exercises.
They have actual sand imported in from like a white sand beach.
He's wearing an inflatable, what are those pink things called that stand on one
flamingos?
Leg? He's wearing an inflatable flamenco hat.
With a narwhal shirt.
Nice.
I love
nice.
It. I'm like, what are those pink things to stand on one leg?
Flamingos.
Is that an even tribe?
They are from the even tribe.
They're from the even tribe.
Right. The narwhals are from the odd tribe.
Oh, dear.
I would have thought that you stand on one leg would maybe from the odd tribe.
You would think.
Well, you would.
Oh, and that's the irony of animals.
Don't understand the world anymore.
Anything else going on for you guys?
Isn't a rhinoceros just like a really overweight unicorn?
Yeah, chubby unicorn. I think we saw that T-shirt.
Chubby unicorn.
Yeah, we saw a T-shirt at your concert.
I love you, chubby unicorn. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yes!
That's actually pretty funny.
I thought it was rad.
Chubby unicorn.
Chubby unicorn.
That's been through some dark times.
Yeah.
Listen to too much Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, heavy smoker. You understand.
I mean, Travis also covered that.
Yep.
On his record that will come out sometime in the near future.
Oh, yeah. Excited
still,
for that.
Still getting that all together, but he has every intention of getting him out there. Some people have asked, and obviously it's been a little bit more delayed than planned, but it will happen.
Well, one of the things you got to realize is, so he was doing that with Kelly Gray, and Kelly Gray also, is he playing in Jeff Tate's Queensryche? I'm not sure if he's playing in that band or working with that band, but Kelly Gray, who's super talented, he's an amazing guy, but he's been pulled away to do the stuff that he does for a living. So in mixing Travis's record, he's had to ping pong kind of off and on, and that's been the primary delay. For those that wanted to know, what's going on with Travis's record?
Yep, good to know.
You know, Kelly's been working a lot, and so that's why you don't have your album yet.
I'm excited for that album, though.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we got, I think we're good, right?
Yeah.
We got everything.
Yeah.
I got to work on now editing that promo together. Yeah. All right, Rev Grit City Podcast going
on.
Yeah,
Grit City Podcast. Take a listen to it. Some of our friends and I, a local comedian in Tacoma and a filmmaker. We discuss Scanners, the old 1980 movie starring Jeremy Ironside.
I know that movie.
And we argue whether or not who decided we were going to watch this and discuss it because we couldn't figure it out. It was a drunken night, and we kind of go through that.
Oops.
So the ups and downs of all that. That's the most recent podcast.
I've got my t-shirts available at prowrestlingtees.com/I'm Steve Miggs. Yeah. New t-shirts are up there, including a Pride-inspired, actually inspired because I was just getting sick of such hate that I was like, oh, I'm going to make a Pride-inspired shirt, and I'm going to find a good charity to donate the money that I get back for any sales of that shirt. But that's the local celeb,
Steve Miggs. Cool.
So you could
that
show pride
cool.
while
yeah.
also displaying your love for a douche radio guy. It's all
that's
all
rad.
Together. Lots
that's
of different.
Really
and there's also one with it's just white print. So if you rather that as opposed to the rainbow print, you got both options. But that's available at prowrestlingtees.com/I'm Steve Miggs. Glenn, any shows coming up?
No, Miggs Fest is it. And, of course, you can find all of my t-shirts, merch, albums, etc. We ran out of time.
Say the website.
GlennCannon.net. Go to GlennCannon.net. It would have been funnier if it just ended where I said it.
There we go. Wait, I'll give you music.
GlennCannon.net. Your source for CDs, autograph, paraphernalia, maybe not drug paraphernalia, but we're working on that. And t-shirts, custom drum heads, tour dates and news, photos that you've probably already seen on social media. GlennCannon.net.
And if you ask for the CD Animal Style, that's how you get your drugs.
Ah, correct. Lick the upper right-hand corner of your CD and...
and stay positive.
Trip balls.
That was epic.
Have a great day.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases. We'll follow it all, case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours, Case by Case, wherever you get your podcasts.